This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a special Christmas series called God's Great Christmas Gift to You. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous couple has pledged a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar donated to this ministry will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called The Three Wise Women of Christmas.
All your life you've heard about the three wise men of Christmas. This year I want to talk to you for just a second about the three wise women of Christmas. You maybe have never realized that there were three wise women, but there were. One of them was married, one of them was single, and one of them was widowed. The first one was named Elizabeth. The second one was named Mary. And the third one was named Anna. Every one of these three wise women faced a major obstacle in their life. Elizabeth faced major disappointment. She was old and unable to bear a child. She had been childless her entire life. Big disappointment. Mary had to face a major change. She's pregnant and she's single. How is she going to explain that? And Anna had lost the love of her life, her husband, just a few years into her marriage. And so she had to deal with loss. So disappointment and change and loss were the three things these three wise women had to deal with. But they all overcame each of those because they were wise. Elizabeth overcame resentment and bitterness. Mary overcame her fears. And Anna overcame her grief because they all made wise decisions by making wise choices. How do you know when somebody is wise? How do you know when somebody is really wise or not? By looking at the decisions they make. Wise people make wise decisions. Foolish people make foolish decisions. Unwise people make unwise decisions. If I want to know if you are wise, if you're truly a wise woman, if I want to know if you're truly a wise man, all I have to do is say, tell me about the decisions you've made in your life. Because your decisions reveal whether you are wise or not. The Bible says this about the wisest man who ever lived. His name was Solomon. He was the king of Israel because God gave him wisdom. Because when God said, I'll give you anything you ask for, he didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for comfort. He said, God, I want you to make me wise. And he became the wisest man in the world. And the Bible says this on the screen, 1 Kings 3:28, the people saw that Solomon had God's wisdom by the decisions he made. What I want us to do right now is look at the three decisions that these wise women made. Because if you want to be a wise woman or you want to be a wise man, you need to make these exact three decisions this next year and for the rest of your life. So first we're going to start with the first wise woman. If you want to write her name in, if you're taking notes, the first wise woman of Christmas is Elizabeth. We find her story in Luke chapter 1. We find Mary's story in Luke chapter 1. And we find Anna's story in Luke chapter 2. Now, on your outline, the Bible says this. When Herod was the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, and his wife was named Elizabeth. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous and godly people. This is what God says about them. Their lives pleased God. Circle that. Their lives pleased God because they always did everything God commanded. And they lived with a clear conscience before God. But they had no children because Elizabeth had been unable to conceive And now they were both too old. Now, in these couple of verses, we learn a couple things about this first wise woman. First, we learn that Elizabeth was a very strong woman. She's mature, she's strong, she's godly, she was a woman of God. She was probably a great mentor to young girls. Probably a great mentor because she's very strong in her faith. Verse 6 says, her life pleased God. You know what? As your pastor and coach, that's what God, I want God to be able to say about you. That your life pleased God. That's what it means to be a godly woman. That's what it means to be a godly man. Your life pleased God. That's the highest compliment. There's nothing better than that. The Bible says she was righteous. The Bible says she was devout. The Bible says she was dedicated. So we know she was a wise woman. But the second thing we learn in this is that she's carrying a lifelong heartbreak, a lifelong hurt. The Bible says in verse 7, they had no children. And many of you can identify with this hurt, with this heartbreak. For some reason, it hasn't happened. You've always wanted to be a mother, or you've always wanted to be a father, but it hasn't happened so far in your life. The Bible says that Elizabeth was pleasing to God. She did everything right. She was a woman of integrity. But the hurt and the heartbreak in his heart is that her greatest prayer had not been answered. And this means that Elizabeth had every temptation to get bitter. She had every temptation to get resentful against God. Because she could say, you know, God, I have served you my entire life. I have lived for you. I've done what's right. I've tried to do the right thing. I've tried to honor you and worship you and love you. And yet you haven't answered my biggest prayer. I want a baby. Now, this is a great temptation to be hurt and to be bitter and to be resentful. You could probably think about something in your life you've prayed about a lot and it just hasn't happened yet. You can be bitter or you can be better. You can trust God or you can get mad at God. And Elizabeth, in her wisdom, did not get mad at God. But the point I want to make here is that living for God does not guarantee you a hurt-free life. God never said that everything's going to happen the way you want it in life. This is not heaven. I've told you this so many times. Don't expect heaven to be on earth. In heaven, there is no sorrow, no suffering, no sadness, no problems, no pressure, no pain, no disappointment, no tears, no grief, no loss. None of these things are in heaven. But this is earth. And on earth, everything is broken. Not everything God wants to happen happens. Because the Bible says the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but people perish all the time without Christ. God doesn't want people to sin, but they sin all the time. God gives us that choice. And so to expect heaven on earth is going to set you up for disappointment. Nothing works perfectly on this planet. I've told you this many times. The weather doesn't work perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfectly. Your relationships don't work perfectly. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Everything is broken. Living for Christ does not guarantee a pain-free life. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not might. Not might. Not could happen. It says you're going to have trouble. So we shouldn't be surprised when things don't always go the right way. We shouldn't be surprised when we have pain in our lives because it's not heaven.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. A generous couple has stepped forward with a $100,000 matching grant that will double any gift you give up to $100,000 to help reach more people with the hope of Christ. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. This special offer ends December 31st, so get your copy now when you give today at PastorRick.com. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you for your generous support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Elizabeth had wanted a baby all of her life, and it hadn't happened. Now, we pick up her story in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 8. And this is the story of the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, and she was the mother of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner or the announcer of the Messiah. Here's what it says on the screen. One day, Zechariah was chosen to enter the temple of God to burn incense. He was a priest. While he was doing that, a large crowd of worshipers stood outside the temple praying. But inside the temple, an angel appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the incense altar. When Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your persistent prayers have been heard." Now, we'll come back to that. You know, I might circle it. Your persistent prayers have been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will finally conceive. She'll bear you a son, and you are to name him John. This boy will not only bring great joy to you, but many other people are going to be blessed by his life too. And they'll celebrate his birth one day. John will become a great man for the Lord. Later, Jesus would call John the Baptist the greatest human being that ever lived. God said John the Baptist was the greatest human being that ever lived. John will become a great man for the Lord. He is never to drink any wine or any other alcohol. And God will fill him with his Holy Spirit even from birth as a baby. And God will use him to bring many people back to the Lord. He will preach with the Spirit and the power of Elijah. And he's going to reconcile fathers and children. He's going to put families back together. Restore harmony in the home. And he's going to get disobedient people to think and act in the right ways again. And this will prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. Those of you who are old enough to remember Johnny Carson, anybody remember him? And Johnny Carson's sidekick was who? Ed McMahon. And everything on night TV, he'd go, "Here's Johnny." He was the announcer. John the Baptist was the announcer for Jesus. "Here's Jesus. He's coming. He's going to be here. Get ready." This will prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. But then Zechariah said to the angel, "How am I going to know that what you're saying is true?" I can't believe he's doubting an angel. Okay. But he goes, "How am I going to know what you're saying is true?" He's doubting. He says, "I am an old man. And my wife is well along in years too." Notice how polite he is to his wife. "I'm an old man." He doesn't say, "And I'm married to an old lady, an old woman." No, he says, and my wife's old in age too, or up there. He's very polite. Then the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I'm Gabriel. I stand," he's an archangel, "I stand in the presence of God. And God has sent me to tell you this good news. But because you've doubted my words, you're going to be struck silent and unable to speak any words until the day that Elizabeth delivers her baby. But every word that I've told you will happen at just the right time." Now, meanwhile, all the people outside of the temple are wondering what's taking Zechariah so long. He's just going in to light incense. And the people weren't allowed in the temple. Only the priest could go in the temple, and in the Holy of Holies, only one day a year on the Day of Atonement. But when he came out, Zechariah couldn't speak a word. So they realized that he'd seen some kind of vision in the temple. Zechariah kept making signs to them, but he was unable to speak. Now, in this passage, we learn two more things about the wisdom of the wise woman named Elizabeth. First, we know, verse 13, he says, "Your persistent prayers have been heard." So we know that Elizabeth and her husband never stopped praying. Never, even after they were physically unable to conceive, they kept praying. This is a mark of wisdom. Even in all of her pain, even in all of her disappointment, even in all of her dashed hopes, even as she got older and older, she kept on praying. That's a mark of wisdom. And in verse 20, when Gabriel says, every word that I've told you will happen at just the right time, we know that Elizabeth also understood the timing of God is better than my own timing. She understood what it meant to wait on God's timing. She had her timetable for a baby, but God had his timetable for a baby. She had her plans, and she knew that she could trust God, and she could trust God's timing. Both of these, praying persistently and being patient, are marks of wisdom. That's why Elizabeth is a wise woman. Now, there on your outline, it says this, Luke 1:24. Sometime later, Elizabeth became pregnant. This is a miracle. Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months, she never left her home, okay? She isolates herself. She's housebound. She never left her home. I think this is probably she's just being careful and smart with her pregnancy. I'm an old woman. I don't want to miscarry. I'm going to just stay home because God's given me this miracle baby. But she kept praising God all these months, saying, the Lord did this for me, and he has shown his blessing and has taken away my shame and pain. Now, she gives all the credit to God, and he says, God has taken away my pain and my shame. Why would she be ashamed of not having a baby? Well, because she lived in a very different culture than ours. And 2,000 years ago, a woman's value was largely determined by how many kids she produced. And if she produced a big family, she was extremely valuable to that family. She was considered the mother of future generations. Now, that's not true today. But she felt the shame of the culture of that day because she was unable to have children. If you had a lot of kids, you were highly valued. If you had a few kids, okay. If you had no kids, well, there was a pallor, there was a shame on that. She said, God has taken away my shame. Now, we pick up the rest of the story in verse 57. Look up here on the screen. When Elizabeth gave birth to her son, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had blessed her. All three of these women get the word blessed in their life. You want God's blessing, you make wise decisions. I'll say it again. If you want God's blessing, you make wise decisions. The Lord had blessed her, and she shared her joy. They shared her joy. Now, 8 days later, they, that's all the relatives, came for the circumcision, and they're going to name the baby after his father, Zechariah. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. So they objected. But wait a minute, Elizabeth, you don't have any relatives with that name. So they asked his father, Zechariah, what he'd like to name the child. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet. And immediately, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. This is what they'd been told by the angel to name him. Immediately, as soon as he did that, he got his voice back. This is the miracle. And he began praising God. Now, this story, the miraculous birth and Zechariah getting his miraculous voice back, this story filled the entire community with deep awe, and everywhere, everyone was talking about it and wondering, what kind of special person is this child going to be? For it was obvious that God's power was on him. Now Elizabeth understands the delay. Her entire life, she's been praying for a baby. God intended to give her a baby, but God's plan was bigger than Elizabeth's. Elizabeth just wanted a baby. God says, no, you're going to be the mother of the greatest human being ever to live, as Jesus called John the Baptist. You're going to be the mother of the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Now, to be the forerunner, John couldn't be born 30 years early or 20 years earlier. He needed to be born just about the same time, literally just a few months before the Messiah is going to be born. Now she gets it. Now she understands. All that time I've been praying, I've been thinking God wasn't hearing my prayer. Here's the point. A delay is not a denial. You need to realize that in your life. A delay is not a denial. And the difference between a wise person and a foolish person or the difference between a mature person and an immature person is you know the difference between no and not yet. No child knows the difference. When a child asks a parent, can I have this? And you say, not yet. They think it means no, and they start crying. Only when you get mature, only when you get wise, do you understand the difference between no and not yet. All of Elizabeth's life, she'd been wanting and praying for this to something to happen in her life that hadn't happened. Maybe you've been wanting and praying for something to happen in your life. It hadn't happened yet. It just tells me that, A, God has something bigger and better planned for you. You need to be patient. You need to trust God. Now, here is the choice that Elizabeth made that made her a wise woman. If you want to be a wise woman, if you want to be a wise man, here's the first thing you need to do. Write this down. Elizabeth was blessed because she chose to trust God's plan instead of being bitter. She chose, it was a decision, to trust God's plan instead of being bitter. What are you being tempted to be bitter about? It just means you're not trusting God's plan. You think you know more than God does. A wise person trusts God's plan and timing, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you can't figure it out. In many ways, the three wise women of Christmas were wiser than the three wise men of Christmas because they had been walking with God, all three of these women, their entire lives, and they trusted God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful you've chosen to spend some time with us today. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today. But first, if you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. The theme is growing your prayer life. This vegan leather full-color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The Growing Your Prayer Life Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with the Lord, strengthen your prayer practice, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. By the way, this month only, any gift you give will be matched by a very generous couple up to $100,000. This match is only available until midnight on December 31st, so please contact us today. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to introduce you to Allison. She recently wrote me to tell how God had saved her from a life of prostitution and used Daily Hope to help her grow as a young Christian. Here's what she wrote. I grew up in an atheist family, and I was taught that people who believe in God are crazy, stupid, and brainwashed. I ended up being a hardcore drug addict for 15 years, and to pay for my habit, I sold my body on the street, and I was homeless. But I found a Bible in a hotel room where I was working, and the Lord radically saved me through His Word. Then an amazing church family embraced me fully and helped me to grow in the Lord. One day, Pastor Rick, I came across your TED Talk on the internet, and I was blown away. So I looked up your website, and I downloaded the Daily Hope app. And I started listening to your sermons every single morning. I then bought the book, Purpose Driven Life, on audible.com. I've enjoyed it immensely. I am so blessed to give a monthly donation so you can share your message all over the world. Your Daily Hope messages have meant so much to me in the past year, and I'm just an infant in Christ. I appreciate all the encouragement that I get from listening to you. Thank you, Pastor Rick. You know, Allison, I just I can't thank you enough for writing to me and sharing your story. We live to get these letters, and it's so exciting to hear stories from people like you who have been radically touched and transformed by the message of hope through Daily Hope. And I appreciate you giving a monthly donation. Thank you for your prayers for this ministry, that we can pass this good news of hope on to others. I just want you to know that I'm going to be praying that God continues to use you in the lives of other people and to use Daily Hope to help you grow more like Jesus. God bless you, Allison.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.